remember having a series of debates with the nuclear scientists who helped develop the atom bomb, the hydrogen bomb, Professor Heller. Mm-hmm. And so during the debate on arms control, I agreed to do a series of 5 debates with them around the country. And they were really pretty, I should make a note of that, because I think that's a memoir book. They were really, really significant debates. And we did one out in California, and they were televised. It was during the Reagan era, and Star Wars, and, you know, opposition to arms control. And Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb. He was a Hungarian who lived under communism. And the argument he made was that in a nuclear exchange, we would lose, the Russians would lose at least 20 million, up to 35 million people. And we would lose as many as 12 million in retaliation. And he said, but the Russians will still strike first because they don't care about their people. They'll absorb 20 million to 30, 50 million, 20 to 30 million loss. And because that's, they lost in World War II 20 million people. They don't value life. And because they lost 20 million, they're prepared to lose it again. And I remember saying to him, I don't know what made me do it. I said, you know, Professor, I mean, he would never stand next to me when we debated. We'd be on a stage, and there were, you know, always, there were over 1,000 people every time we debated. And the podium would have to be at opposite ends of the stage. He would not do in the middle. He wanted to make a point. Pardon me? And it's interesting. After that dire entry, the next one was between that and the 7th of July. Mm-hmm. Was a long meeting on the Security Council. On the part I was classified. Between me, General Austin, General Dumford, Sandy Winnefell, the Admiral, Tony Blinken, the President, Ash Carter, and the argument, as well as John Brennan, the head of the CIA, and our Ambassador to the United Nations, and it concludes by saying, I so this was I early on in 09. I just found all the classified stuff downstairs. I wrote the president a handwritten 40-page memorandum arguing against deploying additional troops to Iraq, I mean to Afghanistan, on the grounds that it wouldn't matter. That the day we left would be like the day before we arrived.
This was pushing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I made the same argument relative for example, it starts off General Austin saying, quote, I don't know if we can have a unified Iraq. I don't mean we have to decide that now, him saying. I wrote that piece now 11 years ago, 12 years ago. Need to think about the future of Iraq if just the Kurds are in a different. How do we get after the people's original objective is different than Iraq. Anyway, the point is, I have this fairly profound meeting within, at least within 5 days after that diary entry. Uh-huh. because we're making the decision, what do? Do we double down in Iraq? Do we move toward what I argued 5 years earlier, that we should have in Iraq and Afghanistan, we should have a counterterrorism strategy rather than a counterinsurgency strategy of occupying and changing hearts and minds. Brennan's talking about Iraq, and I wrote John said, that's what Biden said.
Wait, who was saying, John, you said
John Brennan.
Brennan, CIA, yeah.
And the chief of operations, the chief of staff, or the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, quote, we got to get it about right. Iraq's historic conflict is a historic conflict that will take a long, long time to sort out. We must keep Daesh, or that's what the Arabs call it, ISIS, in perspective.
You know, I think about that hearing you held in the run-up to the Iraq War in probably 2002. I mean, you had people testifying laid out. This, we're talking about 15 years, everything that's come to pass was there for everybody to see.
Then on the 7th, I had a meeting with Ted, Steve, Mike Donnelly on the 7th of July.
Mm-hmm.
Consensus is it's no longer a question about is the race doable. It is. The question was, when would I need to show my hand to be plausible? Mike thought an exploratory in mid-August was necessary to announce early in mid-September. Thought we could wait for things to play out a little more. Discussed the July 17th candidate event in Iowa, which I was invited to. I said it was too early. Others were less certain. Later, 5:30, with Terry Goodman came by. Told them we were discussing how I should handle my schedule and deal with request race 216. Said, wait, the momentum will come to you. Make it a 1968 analogy, Terry said. That was, Kennedy.
Yeah.
And it's and lots of interest in Iowa. While there is some enthusiasm and there's a question whether there's enthusiasm for Hillary there or anywhere for that matter. We basically left it that because I had to go back to the White House for a reception with Democratic senators. During Q&A, Barack said, "The best decision I've made was asking Joe Biden to join me." Several of the senators stood up and gave a standing ovation. He said even then, "He'll go down in history as one of the best vice presidents of all of history. He has been with me in every decision I've made, and he's always had my back, even when I've been wrong." And I wrote here, generous comment. Then on the 8th of July.
That was on the 7th of July that reception happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then on the 8th of July, Steve, Mike, and Ted, Mike said, clean announcement, clear announcement, clear assessment of negative attacks from Hillary. State my position on money, exploratory committee in August, polling in August, 30 persons, find a lawyer, a digital director, a press person, let what happens come to you. Ted, not a draft, but there's an opening. JRB, I said, what are the negatives of timing and what will POTUS do? Ron Klain. You lose, a sitting vice president, not like in 2008. If you lose, you lose. As a sitting vice president, it's not like in 08, meaning that, you know, when I lost the nomination, everybody, he said, there's no romantic dignity in losing. Understand that if you lose, it'll be a big loss. There is an endpoint to mourning, you know, classic Ron Klain, just, you know, like the neurosurgeon. This turns on to think about it. One and only exercise is write your announcement speech now, the theory of your candidacy. I'm running for this reason, and I'm willing to lose for this reason. If you can't write a good announcement speech, you shouldn't run. And then on the 10th, Steve, he said, there is some momentum. You have to provide your folks for your case versus theirs. They need some reassurance. If it shows promise, go to POTUS and ask for his support. See, best advocate, strong desire for. Oh, this is about the middle class. You are the best advocate. That's what the race is about, the middle class. You're the best advocate. There's a strong desire for the real versus the phony. Intense dysfunction. There's intense dissatisfaction with tying it to money. like, you know, they kept saying we can't run because of the money. It's candidate performance. Claim to a record in the party that they're not claiming to. Closest with the president, be his best defender. Change within a month. People see great strength and resilience in your character. Least appreciated as it's the least appreciated aspect about the president, who's a truly decent guy. You have the ability to be a unifier, a reassuring skill. Hillary is divisive, and Bernie is too angry. You've been brought into focus is the depth of your character, the understanding of just how tough life can be, and your connection to those people. Steve, lay out a big, bold picture of what we can do for the country in the future. Mike, Hillary Clinton, incapable of being forthright, tied to Wall Street. Fundamentals. The speech I can give the speech. Advice. What I say. JRB, middle class. Is being out of shape. We're the richest country. The richest people in the country can't buy this election. Nearly 8 years ago, we went to work. We did it together now. Best decision ever made was to join him. Brought the country back. George H.W. Bush suffered factory, but then when he saw him being fished out of the ocean, it was about how to deal with my downside. Mm-hmm. Remember the ad they had of him being fished out of the ocean when his plane went in the ocean in World War II? That ended the wind factor.
Right.
Flip side. They won't give you an inch. They expect you to screw up. You can't raise the money. Comparison to you, Hillary Clinton dynasty on the left. You, though, have an 80% rating. An honest assessment of that issue, the gaffe issue, is like a virus. It's dormant. When you make a mistake again, they'll bring it up. If you enter, understand the odds. Challenges are great. No one can look around this country as well as you can. It's all this is a matter of principle. It's happening in front of us. It's being bought by people with powerful interests. Just as this party has stood for civil rights, this is where we are. The future of the middle class is at stake. I'm committed to the middle class. They don't believe anymore. Here's what I'm going to do to start. I'm going to start by lowering their taxes and free college education. No one gets to the point in life I've gotten to. Without, I can't read my own writing. Enormous progress, Prez and I have done. I'm not going to stand by and see it undone. And then, anyway.
Well, I think we should call a night.